Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to Second Hour of Amplify with our guest, Luann Zerlo, who has written a book titled Single for a Greater Purpose, A Hidden Joy in the Catholic Church. It can also be talked about people in other religions who choose to give their life in the way in which Luann believes God has called her to. Luann, why do you prefer the term dedicated single?
Well, there are many terms I've heard used for people in the Catholic Church that realize that this is their call for them for the rest of their lives. I've consecrated, committed, lay single, chaste singles. I list a whole bunch of different expressions. And I think, first of all, it's very helpful to name this because the word single can mean anything, and it just doesn't give enough specificity to what this vocation is. Now, in the eyes of the Church, according to canon law, I am or we are not consecrated. To be consecrated, according to canon law, you take public vows. And many of us, I've taken a private vow, a commitment, but it's not a consecration in the eyes of the Church. So I think the word dedicated, comes from the Latin dedicare, very rich meaning, kind of being dedicated and permanently enjoined, and it has kind of a lofty sentiment about it, that you're dedicated to something very good and worthy. And so I thought that it conveyed kind of well what this vocation is. I think at the heart of being a dedicated single is it is indeed a lay vocation. It's not, you're not trying to be a religious wannabe in the world. You are made to be in the world as a lay person, to develop your temporal skills and to leaven the world as a lay person. And I think that to me is at the core of this vocation. And mm-hmm. I think that the single conveys the fact that one is lay. One never refers to a priest or a nun or religious as single. That's known by their very, very vocation itself.
And celibacy, of course, is a part of that vocation. You write about that in Rehabilitating Celibacy and point out that celibates are no longer admired. In fact, some are even threatened by it. And it's your view that the age we live in, you write, increasingly resembles the early years of Christian persecution, and arguably things may get worse. How is it that the age we live in increasingly resembles the early years of Christian persecution and get worse?
Well, your first point about the celibacy no longer looked up to, and obviously this is a topic that a lot of people are speaking about now. It's interesting to even try to think about the fact that Augustine actually warned celibates about being prideful, that it was so looked up upon, and one was, it was so highly esteemed that it was easy to go to your head. And I think, gosh, how different today. I think celibacy is viewed as is kind of odd, if not a bit nutty. And it goes so counter to kind of the sexual ethos of our culture today. It's almost gotten to a point where it's viewed as one cannot be happy unless they're engaged in sexual relations. And so I think to live an outwardly joyful and clearly fulfilled and peaceful life, clinging to Christ, being a celibate, is a very powerful witness. And, we know how much pain is out there because of lives that are, kind of being lost with, whether it be sexual sin and the ramifications. And so I think as it relates to why we may be returning, I think more and more we're finding that people are threatened by the truth. We're kind of at an age it's almost like, I don't know how to explain it, in that I feel like when you're showing the truth and goodness, mm-hmm. it shines a light on what's bad, what's not good. And a lot of people don't take that easily often. And so I think you can be, it's often the brunt of attack or criticism, or whether it's implicit or explicit. At its core, to live a celibate life in today's society goes counter to what this society says is so important.
Let me amplify by pointing up some of the other points you make about celibacy in your book, Single for a Greater Purpose. You believe the marriage has dethroned celibacy, that celibacy can make one free for undivided love of God and apostolic work. Celibacy or perfect chastity can be profoundly powerful, and that there's a sense in which celibacy is a foreshadowing of heaven. If we look at more from our perspective on earth, there's a sense in which celibates are today's feminists. But what do you mean when you write that celibacy and marriage are mutually supportive and really not competitive?
Well, I think in many cases or a number of cases, it seems that marriage is taking on too much weight. And what I mean by that is, I think there are many that put so much stock in marriage is going to be the answer to make me happy. And absolutely, good marriages are just extraordinary unions, and they do make people happy, and they're how most of us live out our vocation as married. But to think that marriage is going to be the answer to make you completely satisfied and happy means that at its core, you don't believe it's that God is the one who truly is the only one that can totally fulfill our hearts. God is the only one in the end that's going to satisfy us fully. And so I think what a celibate, whether it be a dedicated single or a religious or a priest, who lives their vocation joyfully, and I think there's nothing actually more off-putting, frankly, than a celibate who doesn't live their vocation joyfully, because that's a kind of a negative or counter kind of model, but one that really is fulfilled by their relationship with Christ, I think shows to a married couple that marriage is beautiful and your core vocation, but know that it's really Christ that needs to be at the center. And I also think, you know, today's world is so, we're all so busy and running all over the place. And I think we also, many of us don't live with near extended families. And I think dedicated singles can really serve as great support and to marriage couples and families, you know, as a kind of a support to each other. I know I have a number of married friends. Most of my friends are married with families. And I find that I can offer kind of levels of support, whether it's to their children and particularly now to their adult children who feel that they want to go to someone close to their family, but maybe not their parents. So I find that the role of a dedicated single who's close to families can provide a kind of a unique and special kind of love and guidance and support. So I don't know if that answers the question very well.
You point out that humans have a deep hunger to be acknowledged by someone else. We've touched on it already. If there's a way to amplify on it, why is it that people today don't commit as readily to a state of life or a stable vocation as people did in the past?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think we have too many choices is part of the problem. Gosh, I go into a supermarket and I just, you know, you go down the cereal aisle and I become paralyzed just out of the choices. So part of it's that, and I know they've done some psychological studies around that, that too many choices make it harder for one to make a decision. I think the fact that we are so free, if you will, to kind of do anything. And I think, you know, there's this sense when I of not wanting to close doors because you'll miss out on something or it might not be, you know, ultimately the best decision. This fear that if I close this door, you know, I've just shut out all these other possibilities. And I think it stems a little bit from a false sense of freedom. You know, at its core, freedom or liberty is, you know, the free will to choose the good, to do the right. And I think we often think of freedom as the free will or ability to do anything at any time, whenever we want it. I think as it relates to people dating and making decisions around marriage, where the rate of marriage is very low. It's amongst the lowest it's been in our history. I think all the social media has really hurt the way people interact and get to know each other at a deep level. It's and it's also, frankly, opened up a world of choices that also didn't used to exist. In a kind of a sexually free, if you will, society, when you could have relations with anyone now quite easily without making a commitment. You know, it's in some respects no wonder that particularly, you know, people aren't making commitments as quickly or as easily.
You share your story with us, 4 pages worth, and at the end of it, you write, after processing the realization of God's call for me, a profound sense of peace and joy came over me, and even during challenging moments, it has never left me. At the same time, I feel extraordinarily blessed and fortunate to have been chosen by Jesus to be his own, quote unquote, alone amid the world, but also infinitely unworthy. And then in quotes, really, you couldn't have done better, Jesus, with a question mark. So, and after you discerned that God was calling you exclusively to himself, you could understand a bit more about how he is a quote-unquote jealous God. In what sense is God a jealous God?
He wants us exclusively and completely for his own. Mm-hmm. And that means all of us. But I think whether you're married or single or ordained or religious, he does choose, and it's a mystery why and who, those that he wants to be more exclusively his own here on earth, without a human partner. And, you know, I can't answer why, but I think, I think for those who he calls and that don't respond, I just think how painful. And I often think of Jesus on the cross, you know, I think, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, his greatest pains, I think, were for dying for all those who have not responded. And so in that respect, he's a jealous God, but a jealous God in a good way, because deep down, you know, none of us are going to be happy or fully realized without being in relationship with God. And so he's jealous for our happiness. It's a good jealousy. It's not a mean jealousy. He knows what's best for us. And for those that he wants to be exclusively his as it relates to human relationships here on earth, I think even more insistent. We'll all be his, exclusively his in heaven, God willing. But some he calls a little earlier to be in that state.
You write beautifully in the chapter of being called, no human companionship can fill the heart of one who longs for God. Developing and sustaining a relationship with God requires solitude and silence so that we may gaze upon him, speak to him, listen to him, so that we can properly pray. And then a little bit later you write, discerning what I believe to be God's will has typically come easily for me. That is, if one considers spending time on one's knees easy. God provides more consolations and speaks a bit louder to dedicated singles, I think, as we normally do not have immediate and clearly delineated family obligations or the structure of religious life to guide our days. Good spiritual reading, too, is critical to discernment. I cannot count how many times my daily spiritual reading reveals a point that is pertinent to what I am grappling with at the moment. I've come to realize that this spiritual reading is an important avenue by which the Holy Spirit provides specific guidance. And so you are teaching us that the Holy Spirit also is a part of this process, and it's also your belief that hope is the most underappreciated theological virtue. And you go in your book, you talk about what a vow is, about do or should dedicated singles take vows, what does it mean to be consecrated within the church? You've talked a little bit about that. But it is also your belief that never in history of mankind has society experienced such a rapid pace of change that it has over the past century. And so it's your belief that some vocations then are hidden from us. And you write, more are being called to live out their baptismal vows in creative hybrid ways. And so we're going to take his break, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify with Lou Ann Zorlo. We're talking about her book, Single for a Greater Purpose. There's so much more that in the book that we're not going to be able to get to, but hopefully we've given you a good overview of what it is we wanted to talk about tonight. Lou Ann, what are some of the possible roles for dedicated singles today?
Oh my goodness, countless. I think as many roles as there are in the world, you know, there's some people ask, what's the difference between a dedicated single and a consecrated virgin, or a member of a secular institute? And those are all kind of vocations of people living out in the world, if you will, but in some form of their celibates. In the case of secular institute members, it is kind of a hybrid vocation where they are religious. They take public vows, as do consecrated virgins. And I would say, in general, while they're living out in the world and wear normal clothes, their jobs tend to be more closely affiliated with the church in some shape or form, whether it's teaching catechism or RCIA or a whole myriad roles within the church. I would say a dedicated single, many of us work in somehow connected to the church or faith, but many of us work in completely secular settings. Now, you know, for example, I worked on Wall Street, but that was before I came to realize this vocation. And now I lead a set of charter schools in the South Bronx, which, you know, is secular for the most part. And I think that's others that I know who have taken private vows as dedicated singles. It's a whole array of roles, from doctors to writers to lawyers to teachers to medical professions. So I say the sky's the limit. The one thing I will use this moment to say, I think one common characteristic, it certainly is for myself and for many others I know with this vocation, is it tends to be both a Mary and a Martha vocation, in that you started the remarks at the very beginning of the show talking about Mary and Martha and the women around Jesus. Martha is known as the more active one and Mary the more contemplative sister. A dedicated single can be both and often is both. You have the freedom of life structure such that you can be very active in the world, in a career, in your apostolate, helping others. And yet you can always come home and be by yourself with God, and it allows you much more prayer time and contemplative time. And as you mentioned earlier, speaking about, you know, our structure is such there's much more freedom, so we need to be more attentive to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit to guide our day moment by moment or day by day. And in order to do so, you really do need that prayer and quiet time. So the sky's the limit, but what's common is we all need to spend time on our knees.
Do you believe that there's a sense in which God is preparing us for the future as we see at least a decline in clergy and religious life today? We don't know. In some places, of course, it's flourishing. Need to point it out. I'm speaking more in terms of our country, but might dedicated singles in the culture and society as it is being developed find a much more important role to play?
Oh my, I haven't really thought about that. I could answer that yes and no. You know, the first thought that comes to my mind is, I think in more traditional societies, particularly I would say for women, it could be a harder role or a less accepted role, if you will, to be a single woman. And in those societies, I think, you know, religious life amongst sisters and nuns, in many cases, is flourishing. Having said that, it's in places where, you know, you don't have as many ordained priests, you know, the laity really need to do more. And indeed, I'm always so inspired when I read about the Japanese experience, where they had a couple centuries without priests, and yet I think it was in the mid 1800s, the mid-19th century, if I'm correct, where the first priests openly were able to come back to the island, and you had well-formed laity meet these priests And you, obviously a layperson can administer the sacrament of baptism, but, you know, they didn't have the Eucharist and, you know, the other sacraments for centuries, and yet they retained their faith. Mm-hmm. And that was because of the well-formed laity and how they passed it on. So I do believe more broadly the laity, we need to step up to the plate. It's the our, you know, we are a big part of the church, and our faith is dependent on ourselves with the help of the sacraments. That they're absolutely key, obviously, mm-hmm. and grace. But the inspiration, or how should I say, it's up to ourselves to take the initiative to develop it. We don't leave religion just for the religious and priests. It's all our obligations to develop a relationship with God. And so whatever form that takes, I think it's a call for all of us laity to, as I said, step up to the plate.
You write of two great pitfalls for singles, including those who dedicate their lives to Christ, are selfishness and too great a love of independence. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, I can suffer from both, so I can speak
okay.
to them directly. You know, it's very easy when you don't have the responsibilities of a family or in a structured religious community to be lazy and to make day-to-day, moment-by-moment decisions based on your own whims and likes and dislikes. And that's just a recipe for unhappiness, ultimately, and selfishness. And, you know, it's one of the amazing things when you think about Jesus, especially when he was growing up, is his obedience. I mean, here is God who is obedient to two human beings. I mean, the gap, the gulf between who God is and who we are is just, unfathomable. And yet he was obedient, and that word was, you know, clearly articulated in the Gospels that after he was found in the temple, what, about age 12, he came back and to Nazareth and was obedient. And so, you know, we are made to be obedient, as much as that is such an unpopular mindset or way of being in today. And so as a single person, as a dedicated single, it's less clear who you're obedient to. So you have to be disciplined. And I go back to, you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But in order to do so, you have to pray. And, you know, the other thing you have is, especially for those of us who live with a lot of church options, if you will. I live in New York City, so there is no dearth of masses and whatnot. And so the church calendar is so rich and so beautiful. And so it provides a wonderful structure to live one's life. And so... so that's what I'd say. It's mm-hmm. To me, I often say this vocation, it can lead you to ruin or to sainthood. It could go either way very easily. I think it can be a dangerous vocation for those who don't have a sense of discipline or who are praying enough.
In the chapter on the importance of friendship for dedicated singles, you begin it by writing, Aquinas wrote that the essence of charity is friendship with God, and a side effect of this friendship with God is happiness. But how can we be a friend of God since he is supernatural and we are finite? Only through grace. The infinite distance has been bridged through grace, which raises us to the supernatural level. So what kind of friendship then practically are we talking about, the importance of friendship for dedicated singles?
Well, I think first and foremost is that espousal relationship with Christ, so God in Christ. And so he was a man, and we can, through the Gospels and through prayer, but particularly through the Gospels, we can really get to know who Christ is, who he was, who he is. And, you know, friendships, what is a friendship? It's someone that you want to spend time with, so you need that time in prayer to communicate, and you want to know about your friend. You want to know all about who they are, what makes them tick. And so that, to me, is at the core of getting to know who they are, and, because ultimately a friend is someone you love, and you want to spend time and get to know someone you love well. And then also, I'm not sure who said it, whether it was Aristotle or Aquinas, a friendship is like two people walking in the same direction rather than necessarily looking face to face. You're kind of walking together. And ultimately, a friend is someone who should help you get to heaven, and you should help that other person get to heaven. They're like a partner, walking towards our eternal destiny. If you've picked your friends well, that's very important. So I'd say in a nutshell, friendship with God is spending time with him, getting to know him through the Gospels, and expressing yourself to him, sharing your deepest thoughts. And at the end, that's loving him. You more naturally want to do that when you love that person.
And you point out that authentic friendships have become rare in our culture. Too many quote-unquote friendships are merely relationships of utility or convenience, and they do not have mutual sanctity as their focus. The solitary and unstructured nature of the single life makes Christian fellowship particularly important. Dedicated singles need mutual understanding and support from like-minded people who know the challenges and risks of this vocation. And so you need to be friends with a lot of people, but people like yourself, don't you?
I think it's really helpful. I'm, again, really fortunate. I live in New York City, so there are a lot of people in this city, and I think there tend to be, in large urban areas, probably more dedicated singles, particularly women. And so I do know a few, and they've been really so helpful to me. It's kind of like, you know, when you meet someone that is in your same profession, or I'm sure you, when you meet a fellow priest, there's a common bond, an immediate understanding. You know what that person, a lot about who that person is because of that particular vocation. And the same goes for other dedicated singles. And I think we tend to probably seek each other out a bit. So I think, yeah, friendship, family, you know, many of us are blessed to be, have close families or live next to families, but many of us don't. And I think friendship is particularly important for those living out this vocation.
The title of the book is Single for a Greater Purpose, subtitled A Hidden Joy in the Catholic Church. Tell us a little bit about this hidden joy. We've touched on it all night long, but as we move towards closure, what is this hidden joy?
Well, truth be told, that was my working title, A Hidden Joy. And I don't remember. I think, again, it was kind of an inspiration early on as I was conceiving this project. And I would say this vocation is innately hidden. You don't wear it on your sleeve. And when it's lived well, it's a joyful one. And so much about God is hidden. you know, and this vocation is inherently a hidden one. And then the Catholic Church, it's, is, you know, those who read the book and as you've seen it, it's very much written with the eyes of a Catholic. And I love Teresa of Avila, just love her. And, you know, she's known for saying, I am a daughter of the Church. And I hope to be, I consider myself a daughter of the Church. I hope I can live up to that. And so whatever I do, I want it to be in support of the Church and as part of the Church. We're so blessed. I mean, I know we're going through some great hardship, and there's a lot of, there are a lot of flawed people. We all are flawed, every single one of us. But I think we can't lose sight that we are this, our Holy Mother Church, it comes from God. It's God on earth. And it's there to help and protect and guide us back to God. And so, I think that's why that was important to me to be in the title, A Hidden Joy in the Catholic Church.
And you, you touched on the hidden aspect, and you write that one of the great paradoxes of our Christian faith is that God is both all-powerful and hidden at the same time. Most of the time, God operates in a hidden way, hidden to many, but not to all. You write further, the dedicated single vocation is a hidden one. Many, if not most, dedicated singles do not advertise their spousal relationship with Christ. And then to close our program with this little story, you write, only 11 people attended St. Thérèse of Lisieux's funeral. The richness of her life was so hidden that the Mother Superior of her convent wasn't sure she could adequately fill an obituary notice with enough events from her life. Our guest this evening has been Luann Zurlo. We've been talking about her book, Single for a Greater Purpose, and as we've just talked about, A Hidden Joy in the Catholic Church. Luann, thank you so very much for taking the time to spend with us this evening. Thank you for responding to your vocation, and may you be blessed as it continues to unfold in your life.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, and perhaps we can pick it up again sometime in the future. Again, God bless you. All right.
God bless.
I know. There are just a few words that I would like to close our program as it comes to an end there. And they're taken from Luann's last paragraph, titled Final Thought. History unfolds not in a Hegelian deterministic way, but through the unpredictable countless acts of countless individuals responding to grace or not. There is an incarnational quality to this working of grace in the historical narrative. Today, grace is being incarnated through the lives of dedicated singles, clinging to Christ, keeping him company, providing him joy in little corners of the world. Could there be new expressions of faith that are taking shape at this moment in salvation history? Could dedicated singles be the note that God has composed for these troubled times that scream out for sanctity and even heroism? Then she has this quote from Balthazar, new times demand new answers and new solutions, solutions that do not supplant earlier ones, but rather aid them, interpret them, and inspire them as the last note of a melody to be played explains the previous notes and makes clear the unity of the whole melody. It is only at the end of time that the entire melody, as it was composed by the Holy Spirit and unfolded through the centuries, will be complete and thus fully comprehensible. So there's much to think about this here, but don't forget how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. And come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.